linjani mahlabezulu linjani zulu kandaba sifisa ukulibikela ukuthi silethulela indaba ezimqodo ngeZimbabwe suku zonke ngo 6 am 2 pm la ngo 7 pm eZimbabwe lisibamba kumagagasi athi 909 meter wave 4930 15580 la ku 6080 shortwave frequencies lilakho njalo ukusithola ebulenjini bokuzilibazisa ku Facebook kukhasi lethu le VOA Ndebele.
Land of sunshine, land of plenty, land of blue sky, land of promise, overflowing.
It's 19 hours 30 UTC on Friday, January 5th, and this is Zimbabwe Today. Good evening, I'm Chidon Jere.
And I'm Kutsunai Mutatwa on VOA Zimbabwe Today.
Zimbabwe's President Emmerson Mnangagwa met today with ailing opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai, but ruled out forming a political coalition with him. As Sebastian Mofu reports from Harare, the opposition welcomed the historic visit, saying it sets the tone for peace ahead of this year's election.
Accompanied by Vice President Constantino Chiwenga, the general who led a military operation that brought him to power in November last year, President Emmerson Mnangagwa visited former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai for about half an hour. After that, President Mnangagwa quashed speculation about forming a coalition government with Tsvangirai.
That's because you are allowed to vote. We're a democratic country. People can vote for anything. Currently, there is no need.
The 75-year-old Zimbabwean leader also commented on the health of Tsvangirai, who has been battling with colon cancer.
He's fine. He's recuperating very well.
Yes.
And he says he's soon again going back to another medical checkups in South Africa.
2 years ago, Tsvangirai announced that he was being treated for the disease. Since then, he has been frail. On Friday, he did not speak to reporters after meeting President Mnangagwa. MDC Party Vice President Nelson Chamisa had this to say about President Mnangagwa's visit.
It's a welcome thing. It's African to care for one another, and it's very Zimbabwean. This is the new politics we want to see. The politics of peace, the politics of working together, the politics of feeling for each other and for one another. This is the direction, and we hope that it will be the kind of talk that will be walked and the kind of work that will be sustained. Because going forward into the elections, we want to see a peaceful election.
Zimbabwe is scheduled to hold elections around the middle of the year. Tsvangirai has not indicated if he will run, given the status of his health. Already, President Mnangagwa has expressed the intent to represent the ruling ZANU-PF party. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
By President Emmerson Mnangagwa to pay a visit to the leader of the opposition movement for democratic change, Morgan Tsvangirai, who is undergoing cancer treatment, has raised questions about his intention and motive. Videos and pictures of the meeting show a fragile-looking Tsvangirai smiling and shaking hands with Mnangagwa and Vice President Constantino Chiwenga. Presidential spokesperson George Teramba dismisses talk of ill intent on the part of Mnangagwa and tells Blessing Zulu of VOA Zimbabwe service a new era is being brought in by the president.
Well, I think good politicians know when to wear the national colors and when to wear club colors, if I may use that metaphor. Today's visit marked the president of Zimbabwe when wearing national colors in order to relate to not just another national figure, but also a person who is actually not well-disposed physically. It is an expression of compassion. It is an expression of responsibility. which the president, as a father figure of the nation, is expected to show. That basically is the significance. I know that the reflex of many people is to see it in party political terms, but I don't think that is really the impulse that drove the new president to the meeting.
But some analysts are saying, Mr. Charamba, this was more of a publicity stunt by the president.
It would be very interesting to ask those same analysts why they didn't level the same criticism to Mr. Tsvangirai when he came to attend the inauguration ceremony of the current president. Was that a publicity stunt? And if it is, well, then it's a good thing that deserves another.
Are they going to continue to engage in future, or this is just a one-off?
No. The hallmark of the new era is capacity to build bridges and cross boundaries. If the mindset of the nation is fixated with boundaries which are drawn along political lines, then the nation is in for a very rude shock. We are likely to see a recognition that we are Zimbabweans first and foremost, before we are ZANU-PF, MDC, or any other party.
Luke Tambori-Nyoka, Tsvangirai's spokesperson, says while it could be possible that Mnangagwa's visit was self-serving, Tsvangirai used it to raise issues that speak to the flight of the Zimbabwean people.
The importance of this meeting is that for us, it was a good African gesture for the president to meet the former prime minister of the land who is not feeling well. So it is a good gesture in the size we are concerned. But like we said in our statement, President Tsvangirai has taken advantage of that meeting to raise pertinent issues that are affecting the people of Zimbabwe. Issues to do with the dire plight facing the ordinary Zimbabwean. Issues to do with the cash crisis that has seen even old people sleeping at great risk. Issues to do with the proper return to legitimacy through a free, fair, and credible election. Those are some of the issues that President Tsvangirai has raised in that meeting. President Mnangagwa, who was accompanied by Vice President Tshiwenda, has promised to continue with these consultations with the former prime minister of the land so that we open up a true and proper new dispensation of consultation between the leader of the official opposition and the leader of government. We hope that President Mnangagwa was being genuine in that office and that he will teach to his promise that they will continue to meet and discuss pertinent issues affecting the country, especially as we are all concerned about a free, fair, and credible election.
But some analysts are saying it appears this was a publicity stunt by Mr. Mnangagwa.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. It could be. It could have been a publicity stunt. You can't rule that one out. President Mnangagwa could have taken advantage of that meeting to couch himself as a different political animal from President Mugabe and to brand himself as a benevolent leader different from President Mugabe. He could have taken it as a publicity stunt. It is actually true. But what is pertinent for some of us is that President Tsvangirai has taken advantage of that meeting to raise pertinent issues affecting the people of Zimbabwe.
That was Luke Tambori-Nyoka speaking with Blessing Zulu from VOA's Studio 7.
Earlier today, President Emmerson Mnangagwa paid a visit to the MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai, who is battling colon cancer. Vice President Constantino Chiwenga accompanied the president to Tsvangirai's Harare home. Such political visits are not normally publicized, and the MDCT vice president welcomed it as a step forward in the relationship between the two political parties. I spoke with Chipo Dendere, visiting assistant professor of political science at Amherst College, about the implications of the visit.
Well, I think, first of all, it's not correct to say that this hasn't happened before. I think we saw actually Robert Mugabe pay visit to Morgan Tsvangirai after he lost his wife and when he was in hospital himself, recovering from an accident. And we also know that Robert Mugabe has paid for Morgan Tsvangirai's hospital bill in the past. So I think that this is the first time where it's been more public and it's received more media attention. But it's definitely not the first time, especially if we think about family visas at funerals. When Jonathan Moyo lost his child, even though Jonathan Moyo is one of the most sort of conflicting politicians in Zimbabwe, there was a unified attempt, I think, on both sides to mourn with him and with his family. But again, this is the first time where there's been a lot of dedicated media attention, perhaps coming from ED's team themselves, that they wanted this to be a PR stunt of some sort, or at least to make it more public. I'm also sure that this isn't the first time that the two have visited each other. So there is something about a political image that Edie's team is trying to portray, enhance the extreme media attention given to this particular event. And if you think about it, it sort of bodes well to the narrative that they're trying to tell, where even his wife was pictured buying tomatoes on the roadside, something that everybody who grew up in Zimbabwe knows that is a non-event. There is nothing special about that. And so their team is trying really hard to portray this couple as an everyday, couple, as different politicians from Robert Mugabe, who, and I've read a lot from actually seasoned journalists saying, well, he's undoing a lot of Robert Mugabe's politics, and yet we know that Robert Mugabe used to do these things, he just didn't make them public. So I think, over the next year, we're going to study Emmerson Mnangagwa's strategy to see why they are more keen to make such private events very public.
Is there any chance of a significant opposition to challenge ZANU-PF in the election?
So I think there are a number of things, right? And without being pro-opposition, I think people undermine the difficulty of operating in a Zimbabwean political terrain where opposition leaders and activists would routinely get harassed by the ruling party. But I had a recent interview with a member of the opposition who said to me that MDC was not created for a marathon. It was a party that was created for a sprint. So indeed, the party is struggling with internal leadership issues. Of course, you were following the social media reports, or at least response to Morgan Tsvangirai's appearance today, where he doesn't look very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are saying, well, maybe it's time for him to step down. The MDC constitution is very clear that should he step down, then the deputy would become the acting president until there's an extraordinary congress that would be held to select a new president. From my own analysis, having just been in Zimbabwe, I think people would want a revived opposition. So you're not wrong to say that their campaigning has stalled. They're having rallies, but from what I understand, the opposition is very broke right now. But it's also curious why they're not using social media as much as they should be. And I think the challenge for them is finding a strong vocal leader. And as long as they're in limbo on whether or not Morgan Tsvangirai is their candidate for 2018, then there isn't much that they can do. In my conversations with members of the opposition, they were also telling me that the MDC has this, what I found to be very strange, given modern-day politics, selection criteria of who can run. So most of their MPs right now, they don't know if they'll be running in 2018. So it's up to the party to select the people that run. So I think, that kind of politics is stalling opposition politics, and it's also weakening sort of party energy, because someone cannot go out there and start campaigning right now only to be told in 3 months that we've selected someone else for your seat. So MDC does have some serious internal problems that they need to address before the 2018 election. And
that was Chipo Dendere at Amherst College.
Social media users were split on President Mnangagwa's visit to the ailing MDCT leader, Morgan Tsvangirai.
Arnold Sululu says, "This is a great sign of unity and love from the leaders of the two most popular parties. Let this be a great example that us, Zimbabweans, must emulate and keep the spirit growing as we approach the impending elections. Let them be peaceful and harmonized."
Takudzwa Chiwanza says, "President Mnangagwa visiting him is a sign of love, peace, compassion, and care, showing that beyond political differences, the sanctity of life prevails."
But some were not so happy about the visit.
Henry Ndlovu says, "This is reverse psychology. Easy for him to do in contrast to what was done by his predecessor. Then the masses get hoodwinked."
Michael Chibondo says, "Emmerson Mnangagwa visits Zimbabwe's only nationally elected president, Morgan Tsvangirai. Everyone is aware of that fact. However you may bootlick and attempt to deceive the world." There are reports that Supa Mandiwanzira, Zimbabwe's Minister of Information, Communication Technology and Cybersecurity, is under investigation for a $4 million payment to a telecommunications consulting company. The allegations, which originally came from the former head of the NetOne mobile phone company, are generating considerable media coverage and plenty of back and forth between former NetOne chief Reward Kangai and Mandiwanzira. Blessing Zulu with VOA's Zimbabwe service spoke with Kangai and with Mandiwanzira's attorney. Kangai says he began trying to get former President Robert Mugabe's government to look into several irregularities at NetOne under Mandiwanzira, but he says he was fired for his effort, attacked in the news media, and sued. He denied that he has renewed his allegations in retaliation for having been fired.
I have written to both the former president as far back as May 2016, highlighting a number of allegations against the minister, and I was suggesting that a commission of inquiry be set up to look into those matters. And I never got any acknowledgement, but the document was delivered at his office on the 9th of May 2016, and another copy was delivered at the former CIO Director General on the same day, including the Police Commissioner General, Dr. Augustine Chuhuri. So I can confirm I did write that document, which went to the former president. I've since also written through a member of parliament, where he invited me to make submissions to the current president, His Excellency Idi Mnangagwa, and I submitted the documents.
Now, Mr. Kangai, what are some of the allegations that you are leveling against Mr. Mandiwanzira? I know there are many, but just in brief.
I think the key allegations, number one, is that he tried to get me to make a payment of US $4 million to a company called Megawatt Energy, which is registered in South Africa, for consultancy fees. And the very strange thing about it is that when we had a meeting with Megawatt Energy in the presence of Minister Mandiwanzira and others, he is the one who dictated the price, the consultancy fee that NetOne was to pay Megawatt Energy. Doesn't that sound strange to you, that a purchaser of goods and services would be the one that sets the fees for those services? So I could see that there was something clearly wrong. And we carried out our own investigations. We contacted renowned international telecommunication consulting companies that we had worked for previously, worked with previously as PTC and NetOne, that is Datacon of Germany and Sofricom of France. Datacon quoted $299,000 for that work. And Sofricom quoted the lowest, 155,000 euros. Now you pit that against $4 million, and you could clearly see that there is something that was untoward about it.
But now that there is this new administration led by President Mnangagwa, are you confident that this matter will be resolved?
Well, I would like to take him for his word. During his inauguration speech, he made a commitment to fight the scourge of corruption. And also during his recent State of the Nation address, he made a similar pledge. So I think, in fairness to him, we should give him a chance. We should give him a chance. And now that this case is now in the public domain, I would like to think he's going to act.
That is Reward Kangai, former NetOne CEO, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. But Brian Hungwe, Supa Mandiwanzira's attorney, says Kangai is an unreliable person who was fired because of allegations of corrupt tendencies.
The significant point that you have to appreciate is the fact that there was a forensic investigation conducted by PricewaterhouseCoopers. at the instigation of the Auditor General, which forensic investigation unearthed corrupt activities that were perpetrated by Mr. Reward Kangai at a time when he was the chief executive officer of Net One. There are pending criminal charges against Mr. Kangai, and he knows that. That is the reason why he was dismissed from his position as CEO of Net One. He strongly believes that the person behind his dismissal was Mr. Mwandwanzira, hence these scurrilous allegations against the person of the minister. So my client believes that this is a preemptive strike, but he's clutching at straws and drowning, and the minister won't be there to assist him. He should simply carry his own cross. Most importantly, there is a pending civil litigation in which the Minister of ICT, Ms. Mwandwanzira, is seeking substantial delictual remedies for defamatory letters and articles that he caused publication. And these matters are still pending before the High Court. So what Mr. Kangai is doing is that he's going around distributing some papers to all and sundry. He just didn't distribute this material to the Prosecutor General himself. He has also distributed this to the Minister of Justice. And 2 years ago, he also wrote a letter to the President, which he sent via the Chief Secretary to the Cabinet, Ms. Meshack Swanda. This is the background to all this.
That is Brian Hungwe, Minister Mandiwanzira's attorney, speaking with VOA Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
I think we have good national team, and we did very well in Africa Cup and qualification for the World Cup. We did very well, and we qualify. We deserve that. Everyone saw that. And I'm very sure, I'm very happy and very excited for the World Cup, and I'm very sure we're going to do something special in that World Cup.
That was Africa's 2017 Footballer of the Year, Mohamed Salah, promising Egypt fans an exciting showing at the World Cup later this year. Salah won the Confederation of African Footballers' highest award last night in Accra, beating out his Liverpool teammate Senegal's Sadio Mane and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang from Gabon, who plays for Borussia Dortmund in Germany. The 25-year-old Salah is the first Egyptian winner of the award since 1983. He scored 23 goals in 29 soccer matches in 2017 on his way to earning the award. Other winners last night, Nigeria's Asisat Oluwa was top female player, and the top coach was Hector Cooper of Egypt. Egypt was the top men's top team of 2017, and South Africa won the Women's Team Award.
Vateereri veStudio 7 tinoda kukuzivisai kuti tava nezvimwe zvirongwa zvakatanga zvatichange tichikupakurirai kubva na 6 a.m. kuseni kwega kwega na 2 p.m. masikati ega ega nechirongwa chenyu chamagaro ziva cha 7 p.m. mazuva ose. Munokwanisa kutibata pa 909 medium wave frequency, pa 4930 shortwave, 15580 shortwave, ne 6080 shortwave, mazuva ose. Musakangana kuti tichangezve tichitepfenyura pa Facebook page yedu ye VOA Shona. Kana musati mafarira Facebook page yedu, ibvai maenda ikoko motsvaga pakanzi like mubva matifarira. Tokuyeuchidzai zvakare zvirongwa izvi zvinenge zvichiitwa na 6 a.m., 2 p.m. na 7 p.m. manheru ega ega. Musakanganwe.
The World Bank says Kenya's economy grew only by 4.9% in 2017 due to drought and a prolonged election period. But it says the new year could bring a rebound. Ruben Kiama reports from Nairobi.
According to a new report by the International Lender, East Africa's largest economy faced multiple headwinds in 2017. Initially, the bank expected the economy to grow in 2017 to 5.5%, but three issues brought instead lower growth. Drought in the earlier half of the year, the ongoing slowdown in private sector credit growth, and a prolonged election cycle weakened private sector demand. Alan Dennis is a senior economist at the World Bank. He says measures can be taken to strengthen growth in the next 3 months.
I think given the susceptibility of Kenya's economy to drought, it will be important that measures are also put in place to sort of what I call climate-proof the agricultural sector again. This year, we expect a rebound in economic activity, but that is also predicated on some policy actions being taken to sort of contain some of the downside risks.
Rajiv Daya, a consultant with the World Bank Group, says officials in the country's financial sector have done a good job leading the economy out of a year of challenges. He says one way to boost growth in the new year is to make it easier for small businesses and entrepreneurs to have access to private credit. That includes measures to encourage competition among lenders that will lead to lower rates.
As you've seen in the report, we feel that the interest rate caps certainly have not helped the slowdown in credit that we've seen over a sustained period. And as a result, our first macro recommendation would be a repeal or removal of the interest rate caps. The second macro policy recommendation would be for the government to instill a more structured approach to the risk-free rate or government bond market.
Economist Alan Dennis adds that joint public-private initiatives can also boost the economy. He pointed to infrastructure projects like the investment in creating a new standard gauge railway.
What we're saying in the report is that broadly, it would be good to crowd in the private sector to participate in some of these infrastructure projects so as not to overburden the public purse. But certainly Kenya needs a competitive railway and transport and electricity, and I mean, this is what you use to attract investors. It's important to create jobs, so it is good. But what we're saying is that in order not to overburden the public sector, to the extent that the private sector can be crowded in. So I'm not referring to a specific project per se, but you know, the broader landscape of infrastructure projects in the public, strong public interest.
The World Bank says if all goes well, the economy could grow to over 5.5% and perhaps nearly 6% in 2019. That could mean more jobs and make a dent in an unemployment rate that the United Nations Human Development Report estimates to be as high as 39%, one of the highest in East Africa. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
That is it for us this evening on VOA Zimbabwe Today. I'm Chidondrede.
And I'm Kutanai Mutetwa. We'll be back again Monday at 9:30 p.m. Zimbabwe time for the latest news and analysis in English. VOA Shana and Ndebele broadcasts can be heard at 7 a.m., 2 p.m., and 7 p.m. Zimbabwe time.
Stay with us around the clock on Facebook at Studio 7, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Shona, as well as our VOA website, www.studio7news.com. We leave you now with a song by Ja Preza and Mr. Bao, Amore. Akona bongozo, nyama musipoto chikoto kondo.